Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll free. 866-229-3663 or online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3ws.thepowerherbs.com. 1-2-3-4-5. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here in Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Hope you had a great day or week. It's almost over, and this whole month is going to fly by for sure. Well, we got a great show. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We are going to be talking about the next disease outbreak. We've got some updated news on that. I know from time to time we have touched base on that. And this time we're going to share some other information that may be very helpful to you. So, and Frank, just a heads up, honey, I do not have a quack tonight. No quack report. Again, I know, right? So it's sort of like we don't have the information that we want to share on the quack report, so we just don't have one. So it's, I know, it's sad but true, but that's the way it is. So I do apologize. No quacker today. But you never know, around the corner we may have one. So, before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, hit the knees and seek the Lord's face and mind of the time because it grows short. Psalms 32 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Yes, right, because the Lord is to be praised. And when he arrives, you're going to be joyful. If you're waiting for him, if you're looking for him, if you're expecting him, hope you are, any day now, that could happen. Yeah. So if you don't know the Lord, please seek the Lord's face because you want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. There's two different places. And people are always going to say there's no hell. Well, there'll be a believer one day. Everybody's a believer one day. Mind the time. And I'm sorry we don't have a quack report, so we're going to jump right on in to our first topic. here on Herb Talk. I know it's a little early for that, but hey, we're going to talk about the next disease outbreak. Now, there's good news at the end of this report, so don't think it's going to be all doom and gloom, but it's an educational learning curve here, so you can be prepared. There is extreme speculation on what the next pandemic may be. So news outlets are discussing, you know, mutated versions of various viruses and predominantly the SARS-CoV variety. So throughout history, pandemics are recorded as a random occurrence. However, in modern times, pandemics seem to be frequent and somewhat predictable. Now, some argue that the world is overpopulated and that we are often in close quarters, especially with air travel. They're saying these elements are the reason. They may contribute to pathogen spread, but are usually not the cause. So let's look at the viral candidates. Let's line them up. Because in the past, reports here on Herb Talk, viruses are the pathogens that are easily spread among populations and is usually the most deadly compared to a bacterial infection. So viruses are what virologists say are usually the bigger concern. Now, a virologist once stated that the fastest way to cause mortality in humans is a pulmonary virus, one that attacks the respiratory system. So we have kind of noticed in the last 100 years even that these types of viral strains have increased. Now, according to the National Library of Medicine, their National Center for Biotechnology, they reported in December 2020 this: the last four decades has witnessed some of the deadliest viral pandemics with far-reaching consequences. I'll say. So let's look what the journal article referred to was some viral strains that seem to reappear in news reports over the last 4 years. Here they are: AIDS, starting in 1981. You heard a lot of that. The HIV/AIDS. SARS-CoV, severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, starting in 2002. The N1H1, the avian flu virus, the bird flu, it started in 2009. MERS-CoV, the Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome coronaviruses, 2012. Ebola, 2013. That's kind of been in the news here and there. And the SARS-CoV-2, the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus -2, started in 2019 and is to present day. So what these viral species have in common is a high fatality when it comes to males. Isn't that interesting? Now, why is that? Well, if a virus is bioengineered as a weapon, it would make sense to create it to remove the greater threat, adult males. Now, another major characteristic to these pandemic viruses is to subject the immune system and cause a production of a lot of inflammation. So those viruses usually can cause a lot of that. Now, according to the University of North Carolina, the bat coronavirus will enter the human body using the same receptors as in bats. Now, once inside, they say the virus will replicate in the lung cells. And science has been studying bat viruses since 2003 and has identified 5,000 different varieties of viruses there. And they have a large pool of viruses that they can manipulate and make infectious diseases from. That's right. So what we have is really not a disease prevention system, but a disease manufacturing and management system. So that's what we have. Here's a quote from, this is Dr. Ralph Barrick, professor of epidemiology at the University of North Carolina. So he says, studies have predicted the existence of nearly 5,000 coronaviruses in bat populations, and some of these have a potential to emerge as human pathogens. The potential. Did you notice that, Frank? The potential. So are they planning something? That's what I'm wondering. When they say there's a bat virus potential here. Well, he goes on to say, so this is not a situation of if, there will be an outbreak of one of these coronaviruses from bats, but rather when and how prepared will we be to address it? So, how prepared will we be to address it? Well, you know, it's kind of like a job advertisement to a lot of these scientists when they put this stuff out there. So how can a disease system convince the masses that rare animal diseases are intended to as a threat and people will agree to be experimented on with a vaccine treatment? So here is what I said in 2015. I said, according to Elena Luz Kentate, she's a PhD, she was studying social construction, and she did this report on the use of metaphors. She said she studied the bird flu outbreak and the media reports on it, and she noticed that more people were kind of dying from other diseases than they were from the bird flu. So she picked up on the scientific community and the media using the natural disasters description as a threat and kind of tied it into the bird flu. So they were using metaphors of war, natural disasters, to kind of whip up anxiety and fear regarding bird flu. Now, for example, the newspapers compared the bird flu to storms, earthquakes, floods, try to imply a destructive force. She said it did, she did a search to check, and she found that in the media, the bird flu was used with words like battle, fight, weapon, combat, eradicate, defense, and frontline. So she concluded that the use of the military metaphors, these military metaphors were used to imply there is a war on bird flu rather than on the animals that carried it. So she explained that the use of metaphors in this instance have cultural effects which have dictatorial solutions attached to them that can be implemented. So she adds that it's the use of the metaphors that people perceive the reports to be taken as a truth. Okay. So one should be aware of that. If you see, you know, pandemic X come up and they start making you anxious about it. But, you know, basically you got a lot of scientists that have been shopping for diseases. So pandemics, or the perception of one, radically changes the population landscape. There is a global network of scientists sharing a lot of research on diseases, and they have quite a collection of disease specimens that can span the animal, plant, and even human species. So today, disease can be, as you know, edited to make new versions or species of the pathogen and make it more virulent and infectious to even different species. So all disease harbor weaknesses and strengths that can be manipulated and gene edited. So turning on or off a gene receptor can make a disease that was once restricted to a specific species then capable of infecting new categories of species, including humans. So the public needs to understand that disease mutations that science likes to cite take thousands of years under natural circumstances to be accomplished. So scientists could not possibly say this has mutated. Really, they can't say that since they have no access to genetic disease pathology going back that far. Therefore, it is, you know, a way to hide their modern manipulation of diseases. Now, according to Echo Health Alliance, 75% of the emergent diseases that are infecting humans have come from animals. And they report that some of the most infectious diseases of the 21st century, your HIV, AIDS, SARS, and H1N1 avian influenza, were all animal-related. Well, I'm just worried, Frank, that science has really gone batty. And I mean, literally, they're just enamored with bats because of all the viruses they can carry. Scientists know that influenza strains that infect humans bind to the ciliac acid on the surface of a human cell, and also in some animals. Now, the bat flu virus does not bind to that acid. Therefore, scientists are dissecting bat flus to find the receptor of the virus to so it can enter a human cell. Now, why would you even think of doing that? Unless you're looking at a bioweapon. Well, they think they have actually found what they call the entry gate. Scientists at the University of Zurich said that bat flu viruses called MHC2, it has a molecule protein on the cell surface to enter the host cell. So now science says that bat flu can now infect humans, chickens, pigs, mice, and other species. They have not observed a bat flu infection and are not certain as to the damage it would do. However, here's an interesting fact. In October 2014, Public Library of Science, Journal of Pathogens, reported that scientists with bat influenza had difficulty infecting humans and mammals with it. Let's read that quote. This is October 2014. It says, using published sequence information on the synthesized bat flu virus genome, which has 8 genes identified back in 2009, we tried to infect human tissue with it and to watch cell reaction. It turned out we could not infect human cells with the bat flu. So we tried it on different vertebrate species, a dog, a pig, a monkey, and other bats. And there, we were also unable to infect them. Collectively, we concluded that the bat influenza possesses little, if any, pandemic threat to humans. But, Zurich says they've cracked that code already. Therefore, scientists have been working with synthetic copycats of the bird flu, and this is a standard pathogen research process. So these two reports are suggesting science in 2014, they genetically altered the bat flu to intentionally allow it to infect humans. So first they couldn't, and then they could. So they changed it so they can infect humans with a bat flu. Well, let's get to the nitty gritty, right? So we're going to talk about the 9 diseases. These are 9 infectious diseases that give virologists and epidemiologists pause. Okay, these are the kinds of pathogens that keep them awake at night. So here's the list. Hemorrhagic fevers include your Ebola, Marburg, Simmering Congo fever. Mortality rates start at 40%. Okay. The Lassa fever, it comes from rats, 15% mortality rate. The Rift Valley fever from mosquitoes, 10% mortality rate. The Zika, also from mosquitoes, affects the unborn. MERS, Middle Eastern Acute Respiratory Syndrome from camels, mortality rate 35%. SARS from your mammal palm civets, supposedly a 1% mortality rate. Disease X, this is the one that's the big question mark. Scientists at Cornell University think that the unknown viral disease pandemic will come from bats because it has a 50% mortality rate. Respiratory syndromes. Well, the good news is, even though we live in perilous times, which means risky times, we know our Creator has not left us defenseless. So there are a lot of medicinal herbs that offer inhibitors to many of these types of pathogens. They offer protection to you. Hemorrhagic fevers, for instance, gentian root has an inhibitor to gentian fever. Now you also have the pitcher's plant for smallpox. You've got a lot of these types of herbs that help you out along with your immune support herbal formulas that definitely can help you with these types of things. So if you're looking at a natural solution to this, a pandemic kit, if you will, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. And you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com or give them a call at 866 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. So get a free catalog. You'll see what they have. And they have a spring sale going on. So it's 25% off orders of $60 or more. Details are online. You want to use coupon codes 23SPRING. You can write that on your order form in your catalog. You could use it over the phone. You can use it on the shopping cart. But the sale will end on the 25th of March. So, and prices are set to go up first part of April, first week of April. Their new catalog will be coming out at the end of this month, end of March. So there'll be price changes in there. So this is a good time to change the prices are held the same since 2021. So you've got 2021 prices now and you can save 25% on them. So I would say if you're thinking about cleansing, good time is spring. If you're thinking about stocking up on things like pandemic kits and snake bite kits and stuff like that, well, this would be it. This would definitely be it. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. And, if you're interested in more information, they have free online newsletters that go out each week. They have the American Survival and they have the Health Quest. But you have to have email to get them. So you go to the website, thepowerherbs.com, click on books and newsletters and you can sign up for free. If you're interested in the Power Herbs ebook, not a hard copy, it's an ebook, you can get a download link for that. Great book, 400 pages, learn how to make your herbal tinctures, got an herb symptom reference guide in it. So you got lots of things in there, how you cleanse properly and all those things. And, you can get it in PDF, Kindle, and iPad. And it's $14.99. The Power Herbs. .com. It's about you taking the power back. Yep. Okay, so we're going to take a little break in a few minutes, but before we do, we're going to be talking about some of the herbs that people just dismiss, you know, as not being all that great, and really how significant they really are. Like I was talking to somebody today, Frank, about ginseng. You know, everybody knows ginseng, they throw it in sport drinks and all this stuff because it has a bit of a lift to it. It has a little bit of a stimulation to it. So if you have weak cardio, you want to probably avoid ginseng products. But ginseng has a synergistic effect. And you know what? All the ancient texts write about ginseng. And, when you pair ginseng with other herbs, it magnifies the power of the other herbs. It has that synergistic action. So let's say you added ginseng to echinacea. It's going to make echinacea work all that much better. You can add it to dandelion. And you can add it to just about anything. Circulatory herbs, for instance. So ginseng is nice. I got a question the other day on WHKW is a guest on Pastor Sanders' show, and they were asking me, what's the difference between Siberian and American ginseng? They both have jejunicides. They're really close. Now, the Asians like American better than the Siberian. So, but the American has a bit of a support action for cardio, whereas the Siberian leans more to liver function. So I guess it just depends if you want to stay away from the cardio area and you're going to go to liver, then you would do Siberian. I like both of them. They're both very good and beneficial, but American is more expensive than the Siberian right now. And typically when you see that happen, it's one herb is over-harvested more than the other. And so, you know, supply and demand, harder to get, more expensive it is. So ginseng's been harvested throughout history, especially American history. We had settlers harvesting it. It was very popular over in England. And so they would harvest it and export it to England. A lot of them just supplemented their income in seasons where they couldn't hunt or fish or something, and they would just go dig up some ginseng root. Ginseng takes a while to grow. So usually the root has to be at least 5 years old to be harvested. So it's not something that's, you know, growing each year and you can just, you know, rip it out of the ground. There you are. It has to be there a while. So sort of like, you know, apple trees take several years before they bear fruit, same thing. So ginseng's popular. Ginseng can be very beneficial, but like I said, if you have a cardio sensitivity, a weak cardio, ginseng may overstimulate your heart. You may not want that. So be aware of that. So a lot of times people that are on heart medications may shy away from the ginseng herb. So FYI on ginseng. But don't dismiss an herb because you think it's just doesn't have any action. It's weak. I mean, do your homework on your herbs, you know, because you should learn about them to empower yourself and pass knowledge on to other people. So if you're looking at classifications of herbs, or you're looking at, you know, a lot of people look at aromatherapy stuff. Now, aromatherapy can be beneficial. One of my favorite things is a combination of eucalyptus, cedar, several different blends that, you know, are good for pulmonary. So it helps open up and disinfect pulmonaries. So you put some in your palm of your hand and rub your palms, then cup over your nose and mouth and breathe deep. It's sort of like Vicks Vapor Rub, but just on steroids. So even aromatherapy can be beneficial if you know how to use it. So, and I argue with people. I say, you know, herbal medicine is not alternative. It's the original medicine. It's been here since the foundation of this earth. It's been here, you know, since Adam and Eve were here, cultivating the garden. So herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. That's what the good book says from Genesis to Revelation. We should adhere to that wisdom and knowledge. So the good book has wisdom and knowledge for us if we care to get it. Right under our nose, folks. So I trust the word of God, and I believe it. And so when God says something, it's fact. It's true. He spoke it into existence, and you can't take it back, and you can't change that. It's just fact. The devil hates it. He can't get around that stuff. So it's sort of like set in stone. The living word of God's never going to go away. Amen to that. Well, we're going to take a little break. We come back, we're going to have more information. So stay where you are. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson, well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Thank you. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank, for the bouncy music. Awesome. All right, we're going to be talking a little bit here. I'm going to talk a little bit about old wives' tales. You know, where did this stuff get started? How many of us believe, or really don't believe, old wives' tales? And where did they get started? Women were the primary caregivers and physicians of their families, actually. They learned the basic remedies from trial and error, or the remedies were handed down from generation to generation. Now, some of the folklore is kind of interesting. For instance, how can you predict the sex of an unborn child? Well, the old wives' tales say that expectant women will have a boy if her belly is pointed, because males have a more pointed bum than females. And what to know, how to tell your son or daughter what it'll be? Well, legend has it that you can accurately predict by measuring the child's height at 2 years of age and multiply it by 2. Premature babies offer no guarantee whatsoever. So if you want to know, accurately predict what the height of your child's going to be, old wives' tales are right there. However, women weren't the only ones with all the tales. Sailor folklore, full of mystical legends. So, red sky at night, sailor's delight. The proper interpretation is to look at the opposite sky from the sunset, and that way you'll read the color correctly. So, a red eastern sky at night is supposed to be a sailor's delight. And they say, does hair grow back faster and thicker if you shave it all off? Actually, it doesn't. And they go, does coffee cure a hangover? According to the British Medical Journal, no. No home remedies work for dehydration and low blood sugar caused by hangovers. By the way, if you take caffeine like coffee, it just adds to the dehydration, actually. Now, here is what does work. You want to sip on lemon water while you're in a hot tub. You want to get rid of a hangover fast. That's what you do. The lemon water helps counter the dehydration effect, and the hot tub water helps flush the system of the toxins caused by all the alcohol. So you just sweat it all on out. So, yeah, go sit in a hot tub for a half hour. And how many remedies do you know that work, really, from any kind of folklore that you've read? There are some recommendations on folklore out there. You have to research them. Here's a quote from Harriet Beecher, American writer, I guess Harriet Beecher Stowe, 1811 to 1896, who said, "No one is so thoroughly superstitious as the godless man." So we want to, obviously, wisdom comes from the Bible. God talks about medicinal plants. So if you want to learn about medicinals, seek the Lord's face. Let's talk about rosemary for a minute. Lots of folklore on rosemary. In the ancient Greece, students there in ancient Greece wore rosemary around their necks or braided them into their hair to improve memory, especially when they were taking exams. Well, they weren't putting it in the body. It would have been better if they had taken it internally. But Shakespeare wrote about rosemary in Hamlet. Ophelia said, "There's rosemary, that's for remembrance." Also, according to the legend, rosemary was used to awaken Sleeping Beauty. So what does rosemary do internally? Well, it contains a lot of chemicals which inhibit carcinogens, reduce brain inflammation, and stimulates the circulation of central nervous system to also assist with the visual and speech cortex of the brain. So a lot of times we like to use it with ginkgo to help improve memory, cognitive function. So if you combine rosemary with the ginkgo, it's more of a superior memory aid. Ginkgo is known to improve circulation and vascular integrity in your head region and also the heart and all your extremities. So ginkgo is an excellent herb for contouring memory channels and also helping counter depression as well as memory problems. So if you're going to use ginkgo, pair it with rosemary and maybe some hot cayenne to get it to the brain area. Here is a quote from George Santana, American poet, 1863 to 1952, who said, "Men become superstitious not because they have too much imagination, but because they are not aware that they have any." End of quote. All right, let's talk about the folklore on fennel seed. During medieval times, fennel was used to treat diseases as well as hung from the rafters to bring good luck, but to keep away ghosts and evil spirits. So you may want to try that this Halloween coming up soon. See if you can keep the evil spirits away. But in the Americas, Puritans actually used fennel. They called it a meeting seed, which parishioners chewed on during church meetings to stay awake. They also would use it during fasting. It helped purge, you know, the hungries. Weight Watchers like Jenny Craig and all these, they like fennel because of the weight management aid that it has. The oils in the fennel help with digestion and weight management. Puritans also used the fennel as an appetite suppressant, chewed on fennel during religious fastings to keep themselves from feeling hungry. And fennel, by the way, actually aids your digestion. It removes that bloated, gaseous feeling, which is also good for colicky babies as well. It's a little bit on the sweet tasting side, so children typically like it. You can do doses by weight for infants and toddlers, so it's easy to do. Now, the secret to using your fennel is there's got oils. The seeds have oils, so you don't want to use fennel prematurely. So let's say you're not going to use fennel. You want to store it. You want to keep it in its whole seed state. And then you want to kind of crush it or powder it right when you want to use it, because then it has all those fresh oils that are released, and this is part of the action that fennel has. So fennel's combination of healthy fatty acids and saponins and terpenes make fennel an excellent digestive aid. So fennel is great for digestion. We like it a lot here at Apothecary Herbs. We have it in our digestion kit. We add it to the bowel cleanse product. So, and we sell it separately if you have colicky issues or if you have bloating and gas, you can take it. Let's look at peppermint. But first let's read a quote from Peter Drucker. He said, "Fear is the main source of superstition and one of the main sources of cruelty. To conquer fear is the beginning of wisdom." Interesting. Yep. So if we listen to Dr. True Ott, mineral PhD expert, who traced back the circassian medical symbol that modern medicine uses all the way back to ancient Babylon with Nimrod, sorcerers, that was their sorcery symbol. And the pharmacy started in the Middle East, and pharmakia, the pharmacy came out of the word pharmakia, which means witchcraft, superstition, cruelty. Interesting. You want to conquer all that fear and cruelty with wisdom. And the way to get it is to open the scriptures full of wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is yelling at the gates, trying to get our attention. How long will we be simple-minded? And we're supposed to pray for wisdom and discernment. And the Bible says you want to pray for wisdom like she's your sister and discernment like she's your kinswoman. Mm-hmm. So if the Bible says ask for wisdom and discernment, what are you supposed to do with it? Well, you're supposed to judge. You're supposed to judge all things with it. That's right. All right, let's go to peppermint. The mint plant originated in Europe and Asia. Folklore on your peppermint. They said Pluto's wife turned her husband's lover into a mint plant. But Pluto, unable to reverse the spell, softened the blow by making the plant a pleasant aroma, blah, blah, blah. So Romans loved mint. They loved the flavor. They added it to wines and sauces. But medicinally, mint is a great circulatory, antispasmodic, and digestive aid. Helps with nausea, cramping, vomiting, and it also has a bit of a pain reliever in it. So a lot of times they would add mint to oils, and it had this analgesic effect as a pain reliever. So they would rub it into sores and stuff, and it would help lift pain. So you have just heard some of the, I guess, medieval stuff about herbs and also the scientific research that we've come to learn about herbs and how they work on the human body. So, but I have to say that, you know, the doctor moms of the frontier land, you know, they were pretty special women, and they passed down things that worked to their daughters. And then the daughters would have the gardens, and they would section off a part of the garden for medicinal plants. So they'd have an herb gardens, a little separate from the, you know, organic produce garden. So everybody had an herb garden. Most of them had herb gardens, Frank, all the way up to, like, you know, the 1920s and 30s. Women just had herb gardens. Not so much of us anymore do any of that. But, yeah, herb gardens were part of the daily necessity. That's it. That was their medicine. Well, let's look at a few. We got a few minutes, so we're going to look at some medical whys. Why did this happen? You ever wonder why medical treatments even got started? Here's a question. Who invented the ancient practice of bloodletting? Why did they do that? Who thought that stuff up? Why would they cut you to bleed and then put leeches on you to suck your blood out? The practice goes back to the time of Hippocrates in 490 BC. So purging and bloodletting was used to remove toxins, to drop blood pressure, reduce inflammation, and supposedly reduce pain. Now, in most cases, it gave the patients who survived it some relief. Medicine got a little crazier 200 years later, and they did a combination of Greek and Asian medicine, which used bug and animal parts. So Chinese alchemy and exotic herbs all kind of spurred on, and well, they had immigrant physicians from the Asian Minor, and one was called Galen, and it didn't take long for Galen to kind of derail a lot of European medicine, and he started to become the father of medieval medicine. So Galen established himself as an authority with a rigid and a static approach to medicating some of the most prominent gladiators, and eventually working his way up to the emperor's physician. So he would use dozens of exotic ingredients. He took 40 days to mix a formula up and insist that it aged 12 years before it was truly ready. Well, I guess people died in that time frame. So what is really more astonishing is Galen's influence and prestige kind of paralyzed medicine from using very simple, common sense, single herbs for 1,500 years. Even after his death in 2000 AD. Wow. Century Bali Lama said this, 14th century Bali Lama, "It is the enemy who can truly teach us to practice the virtues of compassion and tolerance." Well, and then there was the Middle East Medical School. Establishment of medical schools in, let's say, Italy followed Hippocrates, his medical philosophy, which taught medical students moderation of diet, sufficient sleep, fresh air, and exercise. So centuries would pass before anyone added to this basic teaching of health. So in the 7th century, Arabs took over the Mediterranean world. And in the medicinal texts, the medical texts, some books were known throughout Europe. By the 9th century, the Arab influence was described as clinical medicine, which is to identify disease and then treat the symptoms of disease. That's where we got our clinical medicine of today. So by 800 AD, the Arab world declared the preparation of herbal medicine as separate profession from medicine, and creating the first apothecary or drugstores in Baghdad. So the Arabs excelled in the preparation of drugs and then gave the Western pharmaceutical medicine its modern basic. So here is what Aristotle said. "I count him braver who out overcomes his desires than him who conquers his enemies, for the hardest victory is over oneself." End of quote. Now, in England, after Galen, the art of medicine went into the monks, the monasteries. They kept written Latin verbal journals on the herbal medicines, and visitors from Greece and Rome would come and be taught by them. So the monks were a little on the amateur side when it came to a lot of these herbal medicines, but later they grew their own herbs, and they took on students until the first medical universities got established in the 11th century. So it should be pointed out that this approach that these monk physicians, if you will, were into holistic healing. They searched for the cause of a disease and then selected a treatment. So a majority of the healing herbs that they were using at this time frame were pretty much single herbs, and occasionally they combined one or two herbs together. They used about 175 herbs that grew around the countryside, and they were also labeled the king's herbs. So a lot of times the royalty sought the monks out for treatment. And one of the, Frank, you'll love this, one of the major herbs used by the rich and the poor was garlic. Garlic was considered a poor man's medicine. Everybody could afford it. Aristotle said this, "First, have a definite, clear, practical ideal, a goal, an objective. Second, have the necessary means to achieve your ends, wisdom, money, materials, methods. And third, adjust all your means to that end." In other words, have a plan. Yeah, don't panic. Have a plan. So what can you do with a few herbs? Well, history has proven that simple herbs used alone or in combinations with other herbs have a tremendous impact on the health of mankind. So the early civilizations across our globe all reported that they had observed and learned to use herbs from the animal kingdom. Like the Native American Indians, they would notice what berries the birds would or would not eat. And they stayed away from the berries that the birds wouldn't eat. Because they may have been poisonous. So what can you do with just a few herbs in your medicine cabinet? Well, Samuel Thompson, he helped establish the American colonies. He followed Hippocrates' philosophy, you know, to purge out toxins, improve circulation, put nutrition in. Apparently, he helped cure over 1 million colonists. So Thompson's thinking was that your blood brings healing, and if there was illness, there was circulation stagnation, and there were poisons at work. So he went about to remove the poisons and to increase the circulation. So he used two herbs for that. He used lobelia and cayenne, the hot and spicy, and the lobelia leaf, which has lots of uses, has 16 alkaloids, very powerful. And it can work like a diuretic. It can work like an antispasmodic. It can work as a expectorant. So if you needed to, you know, get things out. So he healed a million people, Frank, with two herbs. Amazing. So these two herbs still exist today, and they work just as well as when they did during the American colonist time. So wouldn't you like to strengthen the cardiovascular system and get off blood pressure meds, cholesterol meds, maybe diabetic medicines, thyroid medicines, any kind of medicine, really? So there are simple herbs out there for all these types of conditions designed by God to correct imbalances and remove the toxins and blockages so the body can heal itself. So your body's designed to regenerate and heal. But if it's got problems hindering, holding it back, that healing's not going to happen. So knowing which herbs to use and how to use them will help you take a lot of responsibility for your own health and get rid of the fear and be independent of having to have drug therapies the rest of your life. Now, that's the difference between medicinal herbs and drug therapies. Herbs aren't to be taken the rest of your life, like lifelong drugs. We've been conditioned to think lifelong drugs. Herbs are here to get a balance back. And you may need some down the road periodically as a maintenance, or you may not. So it's not going to hold you hostage like drug therapies can. So herbs are concentrated versions of foods. And it's all for health and well-being, basically. That's why they're bitter or hot. You know, that's why you use a little bit. They're concentrates. Aristotle said this: you will never do anything in this world without courage. It is the greatest quality of the mind next to honor. Western movie star. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, he said, courage is getting on the horse and going anyway. It's being afraid and going anyway. John Wayne, that's it. Thank you, Frank. John Wayne said that. Courage is being afraid and getting on the horse and going anyway. So, we can be smarter than the animal kingdom here. Are you as smart as a fifth grader even? Remember, Jeff Foxworthy had a TV show about that? I know I'm smart. I'm smarter than a fifth grader. And I think I'm smarter than the animal kingdom because I take advantage of the nutrition in the medicinal herbs that address a lot of health needs. So if you want to be amazed and empowered by how successful you can be by using herbs, which are basically the world's best kept secret, then take the responsibility get some courage, be a doer, and start learning. Get your feet wet. Now, if you want to kind of learn to get going there, some very basic things. This is what I learned in medicinal herbal school. You cleanse the body of the toxins and you put the nutrition in, and guess what? The body heals itself. So easy. So basic. Such an old method, but it works. So you can sidestep a lot of internal medicine disorders by cleansing and nourishing the body. Yep. So that's why I sat back and I said, you know, I don't want to be the next Burt Bees. I don't want to do, you know, sundry item herbal stuff. I want to do something powerful. Something that gives people courage, that gives people hope, that gives people life, you know, because life is in the plants. So whenever you do a spectrometer analysis of plants, they have this like halo of light around them. They just burst into light. Any living thing has that. It's a resonance, a light resonance, and you can capture it on photo imaging. So, Aristotle said, happiness belongs to the self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. That's right. We don't need to be fearful of pandemics and things. We need to just take control and take our country back. We need to take our health back. And we can do that. You just pray, Lord, help us take this country back, Lord. Help us take our health back, Lord. Let's not be a sick nation anymore. And God's herbs are here for the service man. And by the way, his word does not come back void. So when I pray, I always use a lot of God's words from scripture. And he says, if you ask it in my son's name, it'll be done. You know, God's will, of course. You know, times you got to ask if it's your will, Lord. But he gave us lots of precious herbal plants here to save our health, save our lives, save us from all kinds of agony. And you'll be amazed what you can do, too. Yeah. Stuff like sepsis, don't need to be afraid of that either. There's herbs for that. ThePowerHerbs.com, it's that way because you get the power back. Take it back. You can do it. 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Get their free catalog and take advantage of the sale. 25% off now through the 25th of March on orders of $60 or more. Use coupon code 23SPRING and be empowered. Wow, I'm out of time. I could talk all day, Frank. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.